Author of the Week on Literary Lusts, brought to you by Radio Gorgeous. Today I'm happy to interview journalist and author of two self-help books, author Sherry Mays, onto Radio Gorgeous. Hi Sherry, welcome.
Hello Josephine, lovely to meet you.
Absolute
Thank you for
pleasure.
Having me.
Oh, absolute pleasure. So Sherry, your book, Stop the World, can you tell us the kind of skeleton outline of the story?
Yes, Stop the World is actually my first fiction book. It's a young adult book, so from 14 years upwards. Basically, the story is about a very beautiful pageant queen, very vain. She lives in America, and I picked America because, you know, the pageant queen thing and the beauty contest in every school is rife over there, whereas we don't have it so much over here. And I wanted her to be a big fish in a small pond. And she's basically, you know, she's very popular on Twitter. She has all her Instagram followers, all her Facebook followers, as lots of teenage girls do, and boys. And then she gets this fantastic sports car given to her by her dad because she's a spoiled only child, goes out drinking with a friend, ends up crashing. And to get to the nub of it, she ends up in a wheelchair as a paraplegic, paralyzed from the waist down. Now, it was inspired by a true story in that I interviewed a girl 9 years ago for a publication who was in England, and that's what happened to her. But from there on in, I fictionalised it, and she spends 6 months in hospital. But it's an unusual love story in the sense that, you know, everything in her life falls apart and she's left on her own, and she thinks that she's going to lose her mind, really, because, you know...
She is losing her mind in a way, isn't she? She's just so down. I mean, who wouldn't be?
Yes, I mean, basically, her father runs off with his secretary, her mother runs to drink, her boyfriend runs off with her best friend, and she's left on her own to think. And all these popular followers that she had, where she thought she was so you know, fantastic and everyone loved her, they, you know, when it comes to friendship, there was no one there for her. So she ends up going online and meeting a guy in Denmark who doesn't know she's in a wheelchair.
Exactly. We won't go into too much detail. You don't want to give too much of the plot away. But so let's talk firstly about the accident and imagining not being able to walk. Can you really tell us about her condition?
Yes, I can. I did a lot of research, obviously having interviewed the girl initially, and she told me about being put on a spinal build initially, and then the whole kind of being paralysed from the waist down. I actually watched a lot of YouTube videos of people that were learning to walk and what they went through, and read their testimonies. And it's very different from everybody because the recovery time is different. But for the girl that I interviewed, it was 6 months in hospital. She still couldn't walk, and you know. It's a lot of stuff like being put on a harness to try and walk on a treadmill, and you know trying to get weight bearing on your legs, and also sort of being lifted in these hammocks in and out of bed, and you know you're really helpless. You really can't do it. Even like putting your clothes on. You know, you're sort of fumbling around, and also she gets a bit of nerve damage as well, so she fumbles around with her hands. So I learned a lot actually of what it would be like.
The actual girl that you interviewed, what, you know, state of mind was she in?
Absolutely determined that she would walk again. Absolutely Fantastic. Determined. And still, she's in a wheelchair, unfortunately, still 9 years later, and she's waiting for some stem cell research. But she was paralysed from the neck down, and I made my protagonist paralysed from the waist down.
So she could go on the internet and do things.
So she could go on the internet and do things. And also because I didn't want to have a completely helpless character in that respect. I wanted to, you know, to have a bit more give in the situation.
So tell me about the girl that was neck down. How did she have the, what did happen to her? What was her accident?
So her accident was that she'd gone out with a friend. I don't even think it was to do with drinking. I think somebody drove into her. She had a brand new car and was coming home. And she ended up being cut out of the car, as my character does, not knowing where she was, and then finding herself on a spinal board. So that bit I did follow because, you know, that was kind of medically what happened to her. But mine's based, obviously, in cowboy country, Modoc County.
You say every injury is different, but how can one walk again? I mean, how is it possible?
Well, it affects the nerves in your spine, you see. So what happened is that when the surgeon operates on Jodie Angel Taylor, who's my character, he finds that there is the nerves in the spine have been affected, and they've taken out I can't even remember what I said now because it's all medical and I had to kind of check it all out. But basically, they had to operate on her. And sometimes, you know, the nerves can heal over time. And also with exercise, the most important thing is to keep the body moving. They do have some automated instruments that I looked up, which the what they call is a PT, a physical therapist in America, which we might just call a physio. So the PT puts her in this thing that's kind of like a almost robotic, so it moves you about. But actually in moving you, it can help you get some sort of repetition because, you know, we do a lot of things from body memory, like you do with dance and things like that. Our body has a memory. So the more you keep the body moving, the more chance it has to kind of get things going. You know, and it's about the brain communicating with your spinal cord, basically. So for some people, that will heal quicker. And for some people, you know, it's just too badly damaged. Most important thing, though, is to keep having physiotherapy.
Because she said her legs just became kind of bloated and rubbery and just became more and more useless. Yeah.
Well, they got really thin. Yeah, they got sort of twig-like because she wasn't having, at that point in the book, she wasn't having any regular physical therapy. So if you don't, then it's sort of like for lack of use, they'll get really thin and wasted looking. So it's really important for them to weight bear, which is to stand for a minimum of an hour a day, even if they're supported. So they sometimes have these sort of like things that just support them for them to stand in.
And so that's even people that can't walk do this?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say that's essential because you still got to keep the body moving because the body's meant to move. Otherwise, it will just vegetate.
Wow. How common is it for a woman to have a spinal injury? Because it's usually men 18 plus.
I really couldn't say, to be honest. It does seem to be more predominantly men, but I couldn't give you sort of data on that, especially as this is based in America as well. America's just so much vastly bigger. But it, you know, that I think what was interesting is when I did the research and Jodie goes to this sort of talk in the hospital where they talk about, you know, people having injuries and things like that. And there's all these people in wheelchairs and it's to learn how to use her wheelchair and how to flip up pavements and things like that and get down and up hills.
So you'd never think about that.
No, exactly.
You?
No, that was completely a revelation to me, learning about that. I was thinking, goodness, what you have to go through. And you need so much strength in your arms to push to rotate the wheels of the chair as well. You really need to sort of make sure you get your arms strong.
So what, have you got to bear weights and stuff?
Well, just there? I think just sort of rolling the wheels, you know, constantly. It's more than you think, you know.
Because you're pulling your whole weight, aren't you? And you've got no bottom strength to do it with, sort of lower body strength.
Yeah, exactly. So everything's got to be in the upper body. Mm. So she was going up and down these ramps and learning how to use her wheelchair. But then what was quite interesting was I think he was saying, he gave a percentage, which is in the book, and I can't remember what it was now, but there was a huge amount of Americans, certainly, who've had spinal injury damage. And it can be from anything. It doesn't have to be from a car. You know, it can happen to any one of us. You know, the fact that you can sort of be painting the ceiling and topple off the stairs, you know, that, or you can, you know, fall off a horse, or, you know, what happened to Christopher Reeves, who played Superman. I mean, he was horse riding, I think.
Horse riding's particularly dangerous.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
A lot of people, like the woman, Melanie McDonough in the Times, you know, she does that column about her spine every week on the Saturday Times.
Yeah, I haven't seen that.
She fell off a horse. Yeah, I mean, it does put me off riding a little bit.
And she's paralysed from the waist down, is she?
Yeah.
Yes, I mean, there's so many things. I think that, you know, tripping downstairs is another one. And that seems to happen a lot.
God, you know. To think we walk down the stairs every day without thinking.
Yeah, and I mean, there's so many friends of mine that actually break their toes and break their ankles, you know, running down the stairs too fast. But, you know, it only just takes that millimetre more out for you to fall in the wrong way, and that's it.
Especially as we're getting older, because it's like our bones are more brittle and we're not as... our mind might be... You know what I mean? You think you can do more than you can, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you do.
I just want to ask... Let's talk about Jodie Angel Taylor. I hated her.
Did you?
At the beginning, obviously. Are you meant to?
yes. You're meant to dislike her. She's a girl that you love to hate. Because we all know one of those popular girls. And I mean, the way that she talks at the beginning, she is meant to be annoying. And as my daughter, who's 16, said when she first read it, you know, and she was editing it for going through an edit for me, she was
fabulous.
Going,
"You can't really please your daughter was doing that."
Yeah, well, she knows more about grammar than me because she got A star for her English lit. So,
fabulous.
But she was saying that, you know, you kind of hate her, and then you feel sorry for her, and then you start to grow to like her.
Yeah.
Because, you know, but, you know, the whole point is to show her on a journey that she is a very much a typical California girl. Lots of teenage girls can be very vain about themselves on Twitter and Instagram. And then this awful thing happens to her, and she gets completely stripped apart. Like she says, like an old jalopy, you know, she's completely stripped apart. And it almost has to be reconstructed again. And within, and also from within, if you know what I mean. So she's kind of, yeah, she's very sort of annoying at the beginning because she's very much like, I've got my handsome boyfriend and he's really clever. And we're like Seb Joe, she calls them both, doesn't she? And, you know, she's kind of a little bit, you know, up herself, I think is the phrase.
Radio Gorgeous, we are your new best friend.
So you said you based it in America, but how hard was it? Because I kept looking at your website and thinking, this is someone's English that's written it. I can't believe it. Because you're just so brilliant at the expressions, at the, you know, even the flora and fauna, you know what I mean? The food. How did you research all that?
Well, for starters, because I wanted to be a big fish in it. I wanted to be a California girl, but a big fish in a small pond. So I picked Cedarville, which is a tiny desert town. So, like, you know, it's not got many inhabitants.
How do you know about it?
I just looked it up. I looked up small California towns. Yeah. There was a few of them. And I thought, oh, I like the sound of Cedarville. Mm. And I liked the fact that it was desert country. And, you know, her parents had moved there because he was into John Wayne, the dad. And it was like cowboy country, you know. And also what I did is, so I know so much about Cedarville and all the roads and all the wild animals and all the things about it. And there really is only about 50 or 60 kids in a school. Because I don't know if you remember this in the book, but it's left behind from the gold rush era. So lots of people fled, you know, moved out of those kind of towns. So it's actually not, you know, more or less a ghost town in a way. But of course she gets to travel with that, you know, where she did her sort of like pageant queen stuff. Also what I did is I gave it to some beta readers. Now, beta readers are really important and they were based in America.
What are they?
Well, it's a bit like when somebody does a movie and the movie has a screen test. So what I do is I send it out to people that they read for free because they love reading and it has to be their genre of book. So, you know, you might say, for example, you might go on Goodreads and there's a forum and you might say, does anyone want to read my book? And there was also some people on Twitter that I knew vaguely that were authors. So I had about six people that just read it. And anybody who, you know, any of the Americans that sort of said that the wording wasn't right, they would put on the margin of the manuscript, change this over, you know, so it would be garden to backyard, yeah. Curtains to drapes. Yeah. I mean, we speak such a different language, even phrasing.
Yeah, that's why I was shocked about the book. That's why I kept looking up that you're English. I thought, how's she done it? So how common is it for people to use these beta readers? I've never heard of it.
It's essential. I mean, even Stephen King will say in his book that when, and he's famous, he'll say when he's done a book, he will give it to half a dozen people to read.
And how did you find your beta readers?
Well, some of them I found on Twitter. Lots of them I found on Goodreads because I've also, you know, I've written another novel since, which is going to be coming out soon, which is completely different because it's historical. So different people will like different genres and they get a free book for free. And also they get to comment, you know, on what they think is right. So, for example, you know, one of the beta readers happened to be a nurse and she was on Goodreads.
Useful.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, she commented on anything that she thought wasn't quite right when she went into hospital.
Did you find that hurtful to be criticised or did you just think this is great, it's getting it right?
No, I thought it was great. Mm. The only thing that I didn't like is if somebody makes criticism and I know they're wrong, you know, and often that
what
would
sort of thing?
Well, often that would be to do with the layout of a manuscript. And I'm so au fait with the layout of a manuscript now, I don't need to be told how to lay it out. Mm. But you'll get people that like to play teacher and they don't actually know and they don't know that you know. When it comes to sort of things that are really useful that they've spotted, and particularly all the terminology that went from American to, and also, you know, I had a literary agent and we spent 2 hours doing revision and it might be, you know, I think you should say a little bit more about this, you know, a little bit more about that, you know, just to kind of explain it. Make sure, you've got to make sure that everything, question is answered raised, really.
Yeah. And that's what I was looking for all the time I was reading it. You know, I really, really enjoyed it. I mean, you know, I've never read a book like this before, so it was really interesting, you know, and I, it really was unputdownable, you know, because you just wanted to know.
And I think, you know, I mean, I'm really pleased that considering you hated her at the beginning, that hopefully you began to love her and like her journey. Do you think you did?
Yeah, well, also, I really like the mother, of course, you know, because she's my age, you know. Yeah. You know, and you did paint real, you know, people. So social media plays a massive part in the book, doesn't it?
Yes.
How, again, did you know so much about it? Did your 16-year-old daughter help you?
Well, because, yes, because you know what they're like. I mean, all their friends, I mean, they're on their phones constantly. I mean, put it this way, I went to the cinema with my daughter yesterday and some of her friends.
What did you see?
We went to see The Danish Girl.
Oh, God, I really want to see that.
Oh, yeah, it's good. It's really good. So we were all watching that. And, of course, what she was doing in between the film was on her phone on Facebook. You know, and this is what
they're like. Writing about it.
No, she wasn't writing about it. I think she was just having a look through. Yeah. Whenever she got a little bit, you know, there was a dull scene or something, she was
So, but I'd never bring out my phone during a film.
But kids do.
So different culture, isn't it?
Yeah, they're brought up with technology. And, you know, it's all about looking good in the Instagram. And it's all about...
So who does your daughter follow that's famous? You know, she got, like, idols on Instagram.
My daughter is, like, a mini political activist. So she's not into any of the traditional stuff. I mean, she finds all... And she's, music-wise, she's into sort of, you know, the Beatles and all that, all the Stones and things like that. And she thinks all the music of today for kids is drivel, you know, so she's a bit like, you know, so she's, and she's quite an avid reader, but she would be into sort of, you know, a lot of the things that Jodie gets introduced to, which I won't go into to give away the plot, but she gets introduced to what she calls retro stuff, books and music. And so my daughter would be into all of that kind of stuff because she thinks that there's quite a lot of kids actually that think that's really cool now. But she's, you know, that the whole thing of them being on there and then exaggerating that a lot with the American side of things, because, you know, a lot of them, you know, a lot of people and even adults, they do get this fix of I'm so popular, look how many Facebook followers I've got, look how many Twitter followers I've got.
Yeah, I mean, I've interviewed Ruby Wax and she was saying, I'm mortified if I've lost two followers or someone, one of her rivals has got more than her, you know. I mean, it really is addictive, isn't it?
Well, especially as she talks about meditation and focusing on your mind, hopefully she uses those techniques that she's...
To calm herself down,
yeah.
Fantastic. Tell us about book sales, how it's going.
I don't know, because it's literally been out a month. It came out in December. And, you know, however you're published, you wouldn't get to see a statement really for 6 months. So I've got no idea about how sales are going.
When I looked it up, it had 5 stars most places. So it's doing, you know.
It's had some good 5-star reviews. Yeah. That when you looked it up on Amazon.
Yeah.
No, it's had some really brilliant reviews. All of the reviews have been really good. And a lot of people have said they couldn't put it down.
Yes!
Which has been great.
So, Stop the World, where can we buy it?
The best place is to just go on Amazon, I would say, because any place where it's being sold, you know, and any publisher will put the book on Amazon. And
it's an ebook as well, is it?
It's also on Kindle, so you can download it and you can get it in paperback.
How much fun was it writing?
I really enjoy writing. I got really immersed in Jodie Angel Taylor and her voice. And I think writing is a great way of understanding another person's point of view and getting inside the head of what it would be like to have that happen, you know. And I sort of have huge admiration for anyone who's had a car accident and gone through that and picked themselves up and become strong, because it's such a challenging situation.
Thank you so much for coming on to Radio Gorgeous.
Thank you, Josephine, for having me.
Radio Gorgeous, online, on your phone, on a podcast, or on your tablet. Listen anywhere, anytime.
They knock me out when I there.